Good morning, everyone. We are going to get started today. Let me get a couple things organized. I will take prayers, good juju, universal, whatever you do. My cat has had to go to the vet this morning. Lucy, not the one that you just saw in the background. That's Luau. He's our youngster of 7 or 8 years old, but he still acts like he's about, I don't know, 6 months old. But Lucy has not felt good, and she has not been doing very well. And so we took her to the vet this morning just to check all the things and make sure she's okay. So y'all know how we all feel about our fur babies. We care about them just as much as our real babies. All right. So today we're going to talk about it's a concept called, my mentor taught it to me as manuals. And here in No BS, we're calling them a little bit different. We've been working on, if you don't know, for our big transformation weekend next year, camp weekend. A lot of you affectionately call it camp. It's a transformation weekend. It's all about relationships. And one of the concepts that we teach, and we will be going deep into on day two of camp weekend, will be all about the encyclopedia of suffering that we carry around. And it has multiple volumes. The volume one is, you should do better. You should be better. You should do these things without me asking. So there's like multiple volumes that we carry around with us. We also love, volume 500, which is, I should be better. I should know more. Like, it's the whole idea of, I have all these suffering rules for myself that are based in high expectations. It's based in perfectionism. It's based in all these things. And then we have the one where the world should be better. The world should just do things. So essentially, the encyclopedia of suffering is all about inside your head. It's like you just have volumes and volumes of the way things should be in the world. Most of the time, you want all of it done without you ever having to say a word about it. It's like, what I need is for everybody to just collectively understand how things should work and what makes me happy. And then they should magically read my mind and they should morph into a different human being, regardless of how they want to show up in the world and regardless of what their thoughts and feelings are. They should prioritize me and it should all be done my way. And we don't tell anyone. And so we call it the Encyclopedia of Suffering because there's multiple volumes. Just like most encyclopedias, they never get open or read. It's like, remember back in the day, you'd order the encyclopedias. No one really sat around and like opened them and read them page by page. Maybe like every now and then you opened one, but they're just sitting there collecting dust, expensive as shit. And like your dad thinking, you know, like, y'all should use those more. I paid like $900 for them. So we're going to do a lot of that work at camp. So for all of you who are thinking like, well, I don't need to go because I don't have relationship issues. We're not talking all weekend about some busted ass partner that doesn't do dishes. We're talking about relationships with yourself, relationships with employers, peers, your friendship circles. How do you curate and tailor like a circle of influence around you that works for weight loss? How do you let people go? How do you know when it's time to cut some dead weight? And how do you know when it's your issues, your unspoken rules that are making you feel bad? And then we're also going to be talking a lot about like, how do relationships actually work? Is the five love languages bullshit? We're going to be going through all of that stuff. Like, how do you know when you are doing for other people? And how do you drop the expectation that they need to also be doing for you? Like, how do you do for other people because you truly want and love and you have no expectations, no tit for tat, no conditions, no strings attached? And how do you know when you're doing for other people and you don't do it at your own expense? How do you do it where it actually adds value to your life? So the whole weekend is going to be phenomenal. I'm already working on all the content now, lots and lots of stuff. And today I want to talk about the Encyclopedia of Suffering that we're going to carry into the holidays. So we're going to narrow real far in and we're going to take a look at what is that? And how does it show up at the holidays? And I want to give you just a couple of tips and tricks on how you can go into your holidays and everybody can still be the same version of them, but maybe you can find new things other than just personal suffering, letdown, frustration, anger, resentment, or anything else that comes up. Because a lot of us, what we do is we go into the holidays and we want people to be different. We want them to do for us like we would do for them. We want them to notice our weight loss. We don't want them to notice our weight gain. We have all these things and we go into the holidays jacked up like we've been doing crack for 3 days and then wonder why we overreact. Wonder why we feel so bad. Wonder why we have so much anxiety between now and then. So I want to just help all of you. We're talking about the holidays. How do you set yourself up for some success? How do you set yourself up to be able to go into the holidays with more calm, more peace, on the lookout for love, not on the lookout for trauma and drama? Like, how do you do all that? So let me do a couple of announcements. I did want to thank everybody for attending the book study or doing the book study this month. We have, I think it's well over 1,000 of you at least are doing that. Just alone, over 1,000 of you bought the book. So that is pretty cool. It was a great recording. We got so much good feedback from all of you on my interview with John Acuff. If you want, it is now in the replays. You can go to the Soundtracks book study webpage. It has its own webpage. All of our book studies have their own webpage with guides and extra supporting materials for you. So even if you don't want to participate in this one, we've probably studied a book where if you want to read it and you want to follow along with our own journaling questions and stuff, we have compiled all of that for you. Soundtracks is no different and the recordings are up for everyone. I would also see if you can, yesterday, Yesenia did an replay of yesterday's interview. Coach Yesenia is doing a wrap-up call in a few weeks for the entire book study. So it happens once a quarter. We'll be back with another book study in the spring. We are trying to get Mel Robbins, The High Five Habit. That's the next book that we will probably read it, but what we're trying to do is only read books, number one, that we love and that I love. And I was listening to it today and it's a great book. Also, and you can order it if you go to nobiaswomen.com, go to my extras, there's a faves page. You can order the book there if you want. And one of the nice things about ordering the book through me versus just going out and getting it is that when we want to talk to Mel Robbins and say like, hey, our last book study, this is how many books we sold. We've already sold this many of your book. We would like to invite you to the membership to do a personal Q&A just with us. They are way more likely to come in than just me being like some rando no BS person. They're like, oh my God, we'd like to interview you. So if you do want to read it beforehand, you can go ahead and do that on the faves page. But I was listening to it this morning. It's really good. So that will be in the spring. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Time, you can join Coach Judith. She's going to be taking you through, I don't have it in here with me, the holiday, handling the holidays calendar planning sheet. Now, let me just tell you, this worksheet is gold. I developed like before I even became a life coach. This is old school Corinne when she wore bandanas with rhinestones and camo all the time. Like I was legit in some style about 10 years ago. I came up with this idea that we have a thought all the time, like, oh my God, there's just so many parties. I'm so busy. I got so many events. And like, we like blow it up and we spend Halloween the fucking January 2nd eating our face off over a few events. But it also, and I watched people do this all the time. Totally blow out of proportion and not dial in what are the facts of your holiday fucking season. Because when you think, I got all the parties, I'm so busy, there's so much going on and stuff, guess what? You feel overwhelmed, taxed, torn. And what do? We give up trying to lose weight because we think we're so busy. Like as if your 24-hour plan takes you so much damn time. Suddenly, the 24-hour plan goes from 3 minutes to like, it's like 3 hours, baby. Then the next thing that happens is you forget that you ain't got to count no calories. You ain't got to do no apps. You ain't got to do shit other than wait until you're fucking hungry, grab you a water bottle, tote it with you to go do your Christmas shopping. And then if you are had enough, you just got to have the common sense to stop. That does not take time. That does not like do anything in the holidays. And yet, like, we give up on all of it because we complicate it. We have, like, it's all so much. I don't care if you're going to go to 400 different malls every single day between now and then, top it all off with a party every night that you got to dress up for. That ain't got a damn thing with what you put in your mouth. If you ain't hungry, don't eat. Once you had enough, stop. You may not want to. You may throw an internal fit. You may have old shitty taking a dump on your Christmas tree, but that doesn't mean that it takes more time. It doesn't mean that you ain't got time to lose weight. It don't mean none of that shit. And most of you, if you're Christmas shopping, guess what you can do? Don't tell me some horse shit you ain't got time to listen to no BS. You know what you got? Earbuds. You know, back in the day, if I had to send you some cassettes or CDs to tote around and listen, yeah, I might give you a pass that it would be hard. But even with a Walkman, and I sent you cassettes of everything that I say, you could slap that hussy right on your hip. You could still take me shopping. You could still get some shit done. Y'all got earbuds and a phone that you never leave anywhere. Half of you sleep with it next to your head in the bed. So, like, do not sit there and tell yourself you ain't got time. We live in a world of convenience now. If you want to listen to every word I drop out of my mouth, you probably can. Shower. I listened to 2 podcasts while I showered and blew my hair out. You know, I did. I put my earbuds in. So while I'm drying my hair, guess what? I can still hear. When you're Christmas shopping, when you're driving to these parties, slip an earbud in. If your partner is sitting next to you in the car, then listen. And when they're not talking, you know, like that partner you always bitch about that's so quiet in the damn car? Well, guess what? Listen to me in one ear. And on the rare chance they actually say something to you, you'll hear them. Like, what you want to get done can be done. The only way things get done is when you get over your excuses. You get over all the things that you tell yourself. So the holiday planning calendar, it's gold because I watched people do this for years and years and years. I finally developed something for them. And it's real simple the way it works. You look out over the next 60 days. Here we are, November. I think today's the 9th. You look out over time, every single thing you can think of that you're committed to, you put it on the calendar. You write it down like, I got a party. This is when we're traveling. These are the only days where there's going to be like a real meal. The other days, like I totally can do this. We're going to be stopping like at gas stations. Like for all of you that keep like bullshitting me that like, oh my God, I'm going to be on the road. I don't know where we're going to eat. So what? So fucking what? If you ain't hungry, then don't eat. If you go to a gas station, it is rare these days that you go to a gas station that doesn't have cheese sticks, protein bars, hard-boiled eggs, bananas, apples. There's all kinds of things now. Protein shakes in a bottle. 10 years ago, my bitches didn't have that. You know, 10 years ago, what they had a blog called Igloo is My Purse. Because when they went on the road, They actually had to bring all the food with them because the gas stations hadn't caught up to shit yet. Nowadays, you can go anywhere, anywhere and make something work. But you got to be willing to make it work. So you write all of it on your calendar. The meals and the parties, you're like, all right, this is the ones I'll be having the drinks. And this is the ones where mama's chest pie is coming out. Like, these are the ones. What it does is it shows you that out of like 60 days, if you say, let's say you've got 10 parties and three big days of shopping where you're actually going out into the world. You're not just ordering the Amazon. You got all them other days to get it right. What's 60 minus 15? Say you had 15 days. 45? You got 45 days to be a champ. To just do you normally. You got 15 days that it ain't going to be like every other day. You got 15 days you got to turn your damn brain on and be mindful. Think it through. Decide deliberately what you want to have and what you don't want to have. That's why we do the worksheet. So I encourage all of you to do it. I'm just going to warn everybody. It's going to be a loud day. Glad I didn't wear sleeves. I started my period this morning. We'll be lucky if we make it through and I don't cry too. My goal is just yell today. All right. So you're going to do the call with Judith, 7 p.m. Thursday. I think it's November 10th. Let me make sure. No, November 11th. November the 11th, you'll do the call with Judith. You can't attend live. Guess what? You will not cry. You will not say, I'm so sad. You will not think it's terrible. You will not think of all the things you miss out. And no BS, here's what you will think. Thank God that bitch does replays. She's for me. I'm all in. I make things work. I don't talk about how they can't. That's what we do here. And then when you do your calendar, you go to the Facebook and you use hashtag holidays handled. Show off your work, and we might even feature you in the newsletter. All right. Let's see. Today, you're going to either need your handling. Here's the things I'm going to talk about today. The Handling the Holidays program. So you don't actually need it in front of you, but I'm going to reference a worksheet that you can use called Creating a New Belief Worksheet. That is a great supplement to what we're doing. It's in Thoughts 2.0. So when we're done, you can go and get that worksheet and you'll be able to really rewire your brain a little bit on this encyclopedia of suffering that we all like to carry around. All right. So most of the focus that we've had in handling the holidays has been all on our thoughts. Like, here's our plans, here's our goals and all that kind of stuff. And I think that that's all really important. I think it gives you the base. I think it gives you the foundation of everything that you need. But now what we want to do is we want to think about like the people that we're going to be around and the relationship we have with ourselves. So I want you to think about going into the holidays, there's two major components. It's going to be my thoughts about the people, my thoughts about myself. So it's really like all of the thoughts that you have about the people and that you have about yourself, this is that encyclopedia you have. You've either got volumes upon volumes that create unnecessary suffering, which means I feel bad, I feel rejected, I feel unworthy. I feel not good enough. I think things like I can never please anyone. They're all judging me. They shouldn't say these things because then I feel bad. Like, we all have these like things that we have written in our little encyclopedia. You can just turn to each chapter. We also have the same thing about us. We have a lot of thoughts about ourselves that aren't so great. Like, I should be able to handle this better. It's so hard to find the right gifts. I always disappoint everyone. No matter what I do, it's never good enough. I just hope this year's different. Like, I hope nobody notices I gained weight. I hope nobody notices I lost weight. I hope nobody comments on what I'm eating. I hope nobody pushes food on me. All of that is the collection of thoughts around you. Now, this is not to say that every thought that you have is an old shitty. We also have good thoughts. We have certain people that we see. A lot of us have certain family members that no matter what they say or do, like we always give them like benefit of the doubt. Like we just have different thoughts about them. Some people we judge more than others. Same thing with ourselves. There's certain areas of our life where we, you know, give ourselves some grace where like it's okay or whatever. And then there's these other areas. Like a lot of times I see this in weight loss. It's like a lot of y'all can go out in the world and give yourself some grace on how you show up at work. You can give yourself grace on like sometimes like with your mothering, or you'll give yourself grace on, you know what? I am not going to be PTA queen. But then when it comes to your weight, there's like zero grace. And you're just like, I'm a fuck up. I've always been overweight. I'll never be able to lose weight. I always mess up. The holidays are so hard for me. There's no way I can be there. So don't think that your encyclopedia is only got negative things in it. There's always what we call the bonuses. So remember when you used to get an encyclopedia set, and I know my youth probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but we would always, my mom this one year bought us the Britannica ones, leather bound, no less. And it was a huge investment for my mom. It was one of the very brief times growing up where she had just a little extra money. And for some reason, she invested in Encyclopedia Britannica. Well, then we would get these bonus volumes where it would, every year, it would cover the shit that happened. Like it was extra. And so for a lot of us, we have the majority of our encyclopedias are unnecessary suffering. And then we have like the bonuses, where it's like the encyclopedia of relief. Like, here's the things we already have good thoughts about. Here are the things that we already think of ourselves well. And that's fine. So one of the things is that most of us are carrying around a lot of old shitties. And what we want to do is we don't want to feel bad about them. We don't want to judge them. We don't want to think they're wrong. But what we do want to do is identify the old shitties that we have. Because it's really important that when you go into the holidays, that you know the drama llama that you're carrying around in your brain so that you can hear it loud and clear when it's happening, and you can decide, all right, this is like the way that I like to think about it is like when I have old shitties and stuff, I say like, this is just the way I'm thinking about it right now, or this is just a thought, or like, I knew this one was coming and that's okay. When I just like recognize it, I don't even need to believe something new. So like 50% of your, like your relief book is going to be called, I knew you were coming and I'm moving on. Like literally that is one of the most like as I've gone through master coach training, I train master coaches, I train weight loss coaches all the time. I tell them like, I'm telling you right now, 75% of the relief comes from something so simple that doesn't need a lot of work on it. And that is like literally just getting to know your bullshit thoughts and just being like, all right, that didn't like that's just not true. I've believed it for a long time. Sometimes I even get a feeling in my body that resonates like activation. It's such a deep trigger that my body shakes, but just because I feel it deeply doesn't make it more true. It just makes it mean that that is a thought that I've repeated enough times that my body knows how to respond to it. That's it. And so when you get to know all of these thoughts that you're having about relationships and stuff, so many of you just need to go into the events just thinking like, okay, I knew I would think that my mom's over the top. I knew I would think that my partner should have been here with me. Like a lot of you have partners that don't want to go to your mama's house. They don't want to go to all your Christmas parties and stuff. And instead of all season long thinking, you know, like they should be here, if they, you know, because they won't go, that means they don't love me. That's unnecessary suffering. That's where you want to like take a look at what's really going on here. When my partner doesn't want to go to my mom's house, does it mean they don't love me? Or does it mean they don't want to go? And it could be as simple as that. I don't need to dig. I don't need to excavate. I don't need to figure out why. I can just believe they just don't want to be here. And that's okay. They have their reasons. And you have to do stuff like that, because if you sit and like you're dreading going because your partner's not going, and then when you get there, you're just sitting there the whole time thinking about how they should be there. Guess what happens? You don't even want to be there. You're judging them for not wanting to be there, but the whole time you've made yourself so miserable that you don't even want to be there. And you don't need golden goose egg like thoughts about them, but you don't have to layer unnecessary suffering. You can be disappointed that they're not there, but you also can think about like, but I want to be here. So why do I want to be here? And now let me go and figure out how to have a good time, because I did want to go for whatever reason it is. So it's just important that you figure out the thoughts that you're having. And so here are some like trigger words I want all of you to write down. Number one, here's how you know when you have standards and expectations for someone else that makes you suffer. They should be doing this. This is one of the worst things. Shoulds are like, should just be banned from the fucking dictionary at this point. Because here's the deal. When you think they should be doing this, you are now arguing with reality. They're not doing it. So what? You thinking they should gives you frustration, angst, makes you wonder, like it always triggers thoughts of like, and if they would do this, then I would get to feel. Never forget that it does not matter what someone does. You always have a thought about it, because half of you, let's say that your loved one does the thing you want. This is what your shitty brain normally does. The second they start doing it, like, only because I told them to. It's like, it's never enough. It's like, I needed to spring from their loins a desire and want to behave exactly as I demand so that I get to feel happy. That is like the bullshit encyclopedia we carry around. These are the volumes and volumes of crap that we tote with us, and we don't even realize the amount of suffering we put on ourselves. So thinking about, they should be doing this. No, here's what they're doing. What am I making that mean? Because that's the real problem. How your brain is attaching thoughts to it. So look for those things. Like, what is, like, make a list of what are the things you think people should be doing for you, around you, saying to you. This can be anybody in your life, from Christmas parties at the office to family gatherings, anything. Make the list and then go through it and ask, number one, did I actually fucking tell these people to do that? Or am I just sitting around judging them for not reading my mind? Why haven't I told them yet? Because half of us won't even tell the things we want because we're either ashamed to admit that we need it. Oh my God, no win situation. If you're sitting around going like, well, I hadn't told them, I'm ashamed that I need this, blah, 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 blah. It's like, all right, so basically I need you to read my mind, which is not going to happen, but I'm also not going to tell you because I'm ashamed. This means you have no win situation for yourself. Either tell them or guess what? Whatever it is that you think somebody should be doing for you, ask yourself, why? What would I be feeling and thinking if they were doing these things? And then challenge yourself to be like, oh, so how can I start thinking and feeling these things by myself? How can I start figuring out how I already have situations and opportunities in my life that I could be thinking and feeling this now? And I don't need other people to perform perfectly in order for my emotional life to be stable. The next thing is, they should know this. They should know that. Nobody should know shit. Nobody should just know anything. You want them to know, you got to speak up. And guess what? You also have to do like in the appendix, it says, and by the way, When you speak up and they don't want to, you don't make that mean a bunch of bullshit for yourself. You don't make it mean they don't love you. You don't make it mean that you're not important or not good enough. That's crap. You can make it mean they don't want to. You can make it mean they probably have a good reason. You can make it mean like, well, if they won't do it, I'll do it for myself. You can make it mean a thousand things other than tearing down your self-worth. When your self-worth is your job. It is not somebody else's job to build, repair, insulate, help, or do anything with. Because the problem with it is that when you don't love you, when you don't believe yourself in your own self-worth, you will have people, and I have people in this membership right now, you can raise your hand in the chat. You can say, me too, that have people in their life that love them so much, who do little things all the time, who are displaying how valuable you are to the family, sometimes even telling you that you look beautiful to them. Like, you're so down and out about your body and you got somebody sitting there telling you, but I love you. I think you're beautiful and you don't believe it. That's how we know 110% that how somebody else is showing up does not correlate to your self-worth. Self-worth is your job. It is not another human's. Because when you believe in you, when you build your own self-worth, you take the responsibility away from other people. You put it on you. You own it. You embody it. You breathe it in. Guess what happens? Either you start seeing people are not as like bad as you've been thinking, or you start seeing people for who they are, your standards raise. You start noticing, I need to quit being in these relationships that don't match how I feel about myself anymore. That's when you start developing courage and bravery to make some tough decisions. But most of us end up staying in unfulfilled relationships. We keep going to in-laws' houses or our parents' houses or doing whatever it is that we do in the holidays from a lack of self-worth, hoping that if we go one more time, that they will finally give us what we need emotionally. When you're giving it to yourself emotionally, you'll do one of two things. You will go and you'll actually have a good time because you're not relying on anybody to show up any other way because you're already internalizing everything you need for yourself. Or you'll realize, I don't want to go. And that's okay. And if they get upset, I know this isn't about me. I can let them be upset and love them. That's what happens when you level up and you let go of all these rules, all these unspoken things. So we're going to be on the lookout for, they should be doing this. They should know that. If they don't behave this way, it will make me feel, if I don't get this gift, if they don't do these things, then I'll feel. That's another big one. Remember the way the think, feel, do cycle works. Anything they say or do has happened outside of your body. It doesn't mean dick until it gets in your brain and you come up with a thought about it. Your interpretation of what's going on or what's not going on is what makes you feel anything. And the moment that you stop relying on the outside world to drive your feeling state, is the moment you take your power back and you move through the world, figuring out who you want to be in it. You eat a whole lot less over, like, so many of us are trying to fill the emotional hole that we think others are leaving for us. So we eat because it's like, well, I'm relying on you to fill my emotional holes. You're not doing it. I'm for fuck sure not doing it because I'm making this mean that you suck and I suck. So there's nothing to fill the hole. Is that ding dongs, sugar cookies, and Christmas candy? So every one of you be on the lookout for those things. So how does this apply to weight loss? I was just telling you about the emotional hole. We eat when we aren't fulfilling our own emotional needs. When you rely on somebody else, or you aren't doing the own job, there's always a hole. And it will feel vacant. It will feel lonely. It will feel empty. And you'll probably fill it with food if you don't take control over fulfilling your own emotional needs. We eat when we are relying on other people to fill our emotional needs. They have to be perfect or we're hosed. They have to be mind readers. They have to know what we want. They have to understand at our core what we're afraid to tell them that we need. We do all that rigmarole. Guess what? We're hosed. You can't focus on your weight loss when you're overly focused on how other people are acting and then overreacting in your mind about what you make it mean about you. When we sit around and go to holiday celebrations and shopping events with the girls and all this other stuff, when we're worried about what everybody else is thinking, we're judging them for what they're doing or not doing, then our brain overreacts and it drives up our adrenaline and cortisol. Then we start getting anxious and panicky, and then we eat to soothe ourselves. All right. So letting go of all these rules, all these volumes upon volumes upon volumes of books you've got about how you should act, how they should act, how I should act, what people can and can't say about me, how people are supposed to do, volume 10, how to read my mind, all of it. At camp, we're going to do a lot of work on this, but what I want to do right now is I want to tell you the best way to get this work done is to go to that Creating a New Belief worksheet. It is in Thoughts 2.0. And what you want to do is you want to take and you want to look at your holidays. And you want to look at the people who historically in the past that you have been triggered by. And it's okay to admit, like, my mom triggers me, my dad, Uncle Bocephus, my kids. My kids aren't appreciative enough of everything that I do for them. Whatever it is through the holidays, maybe you don't celebrate the holidays. You get triggered by everybody else celebrating them. And it triggers you to be thinking about your loneliness. Now your friends should invite you to something other than just a Christmas celebration because you're not a Christian. We all have some manuals. We all have some rules. We all have some volumes upon volumes of crap that we do. So what I would do is I would think about these people that historically or situations that you have felt like behind the eight ball on it. And you do the new beliefs worksheet on those things. So you think about like, what do you currently think about it? And when you go through the worksheet, it'll walk you all the way through. It's like, what do I currently think? What could I be thinking? Like, what thoughts, like, what things support this? What gets in the way? Like, the worksheet is all broken out for you. Download it and do it on these things. And it's important because you've got to notice all the thoughts first. Acknowledging just, here's where my brain goes. And it's a compassionate and loving thing for me to do for myself to acknowledge what my brain likes to think in these situations. It's not a bad thing about me. You don't need to be ashamed about anything you think. You don't need to be ashamed about anything that you've been expecting. We are all taught our entire lives, other people can hurt your feelings. Say you're sorry. You hurt their feelings. That is just how we've been conditioned to believe. But now you are enlightened. Now what you know is like, if my feelings are hurt, it's because of something I'm thinking. And all I want to do is make sure that it's real, that I really want to be hurt, that I want to welcome the hurt in. So much of what we're doing is what we call the unnecessary suffering. I think about the holidays. Oh my God, my husband, he will go to my mom's. But here's what I know is going to happen. We're going to Thanksgiving. We're going to Florida. We're going to see Mammy. I want to see Mammy a lot. I can't wait to spend a few days with my family. But I know Chris. You know where Chris would like to be? Holed up in the hotel room with the curtains drawn programming. He will not love going. He will not want to go the day before and go to family dinner and stuff. And this is what I used to make it mean. Well, I do shit with your family. I always go. I pretend like I want to be there. Like, I always had this bit, like, and I would just be all worked up. Like, can't you at least pretend you want to be there? Can't, like, as if that would make me feel better. And so one day I was really thinking about this, and I was thinking about, oh my God, I realized how, like, not a great time I had for years going to Chris's family's house and pretending I wanted to be there. And yet I was mad at him for not wanting to pretend to be at my family's house. I just really realized like how stupid it was of me. I was just like, oh my gosh, no wonder I've been so upset all these years. And so the first thing that I did was I did some work on telling myself, it's not that you don't want to be at Chris's family's house. It's okay that you don't love their traditions and stuff. What's really happening though, is you're missing your mother. You want to be at your mom's house on Christmas, not at Chris's house for Christmas. And that's okay. And I would have like some sadness about it. But then what I would do is tell myself, but if I am going to go, because I know it means a lot to Chris, I'm going to go thinking this means a lot to Chris. So how can I find some joy while I'm here? And most of the time it was just watching Chris and Logan be at ease. I know how Logan loves his my in-laws so much. Loves them. So much. I would watch Logan instead of sitting there thinking about how I didn't want to be there, how there were so many better things I could be doing. I would watch Chris be with his mother and I would think, this is a gift I give him, rather than sitting there thinking, well, he's never like happy at my mom's house. I started realizing there was opportunity there for me to fill both sides, missing my mother and appreciating myself. That I'm the kind of person that would go when I wanted to be somewhere else too. Way better deal for me. I got to feel more authentic feelings. I got the opportunity to enjoy the experience a little bit more and to not be sitting there in my pissy diaper. And now when we go to my mom's, I will tell you, I always ask Chris, like, hey, I don't want to drag you to every single thing that we're going to do. So if you just want to hang out at the hotel, do that. I'll go and enjoy my family because I know it has nothing to do with his lack of love for all of us. It has more to do. It's an introvert. He likes alone time. I just don't make it mean something terrible about all of us or something terrible about him anymore. I changed my mind about it so that I can enjoy it more. And then when he does go, guess what I think? I sit there and think, I'm so appreciative. I know he'd probably rather be somewhere else. And I'm just glad he's here. Rather than doing what I had done in the past, going like, he's just making himself be here. He should enjoy it. Like, we just do stuff like that to ourselves. And until you start looking at, you don't know you're doing it. And the holidays are the best time to have a big ass thought reveal. So number one is just noticing ahead of time on paper for all of you, like on paper, notice what you're probably going to think, what you're going to make things mean, what you normally think about, and then don't judge it. And then start questioning all of those thoughts and expectations. Think about some of the things that I said. Like, what do you make it mean when people do the things you want? And what do you make it mean when they don't? Some of you are setting yourselves up for no-win situations. Like, if they do it, I make it mean I had to tell them, and that's some bullshit. Or if they don't, you make it mean they don't love you. You got to look out for when you're giving yourself no opportunity to feel good. And then some of you, if they would do certain things, you would make it mean they love me. It's like, okay, well, can't we just stop for a minute and say, like, let's say they don't do any of it. Do you think they actually love you though? Do we have to make it mean they don't love us? Can we just make it mean they're not the gift given type? They're not the kind of people that just want to be like around big crowds all the time. They don't feel comfortable in social situations. We can make it mean so many things other than they don't love me. They don't respect me. They should be better. That just feels like ass for you. The other thing you can ask is, have you even communicated these expectations? Like whatever it is that you keep wanting, have you said it out loud in a nice way? Not being a bitch and demanding and at the end, like you disappointed me here. Now let me rant about all the ways that you disappoint me. That is not called communicating your expectations, communicating the things you want. Communicating has a big important word in the middle of it. Commune. That doesn't mean yelling, screaming, and demanding. Or if you don't do this, then I will. Make sure that you're doing it. Like if you want someone to do something for you, ask. Don't expect people to read minds. And then is it possible that what you are making something mean just isn't true? Like let's say your partner doesn't help you with cooking one of the holiday meals, whatever your religion or non-religion, whatever it is you celebrate in the next, hell, your damn birthday, whatever you celebrate over the next 60 days. Let's say that your partner doesn't help you. Does that mean that she doesn't love you? Does that mean he's just lazy? Or could it just mean they don't enjoy cooking? I'm the better cook. I always tell people, like, I love it when somebody who is like a really good cook gets mad when other people don't help them cook. And then the second people come into the kitchen, they're bossing everybody on what to do. It's like, all right, if you were just going to boss everybody around on what to do, why not just be reveling in the idea that you're the fucking Julia Child of the family and you don't really need help? You just want people there helping so that you feel loved. Like, get to the root of what you're really looking for. And then the last step is like, once you like listen to yourself, once you start questioning everything, open up to some new thoughts. What could I be thinking? What would be the opposite of what I'm thinking right now? Maybe this has nothing to do with me. Like, what could they actually be thinking? And I mean really, really thinking. Like, if you're going to get into somebody's head, you have to get into their head. Don't get in their head in your mind and make it a shit show. I always tell it, like, if you're going to get in my head, don't you be bringing shit wads and smearing it all over the wall like a toddler. Get into my head and really get into my perspective. See it through my eyes. What am I probably really thinking? It probably has nothing to do with you. So stop making it all about you. And then practice some acceptance as you're opening up to the new thoughts. Can you enjoy people more if you just let them be who they are? Turn your brain onto the idea of like, could I possibly enjoy these people more if I just watch them through a new lens instead of watching them from my old expectations? And then look for evidence of how you want to feel. So this is going to be an important part. So if you've been listening to the High Five Habit, if you've ever listened to me in the past, you know that Mel Robbins and I talk about the reticular activation system all the time. It's either activation or activating system, but it is your brain's filter. So everybody has an RAS. You can look it up on the internet if you want more information about it, but essentially here's the down and dirty. Your brain can't take everything going on in the world at one time. It has to be really good at filtering things out. So like when you are, let's say, driving down the road and you need to get to work, it filters out all the extra roads. It's filtering out lots of sounds off in the distance. Otherwise, you'd be overstimulated. Our brains, and this is how you know it works. Have you ever been in a crowded room and suddenly heard your name? There's like 100 people talking, 20 people talking. There's all kinds of conversations. You couldn't tell what every person talked about, but if someone said your name, you would turn and you would look. That is your reticular activating system. Its job is to listen to what's important, and it only notices very few things in the world. It's really trained on your name. It's really trained on, I know this sounds crazy, but like sexual advances. Like it's like, because our species is meant to procreate, its senses are heightened to when someone finds us attractive or something. It's kind of like, if you've got a partner, I always tell Chris, I'm like, oh, you got the shit eye. Shit eye means he's got this dopey look on his face and he is like sitting there going, yum, yum, we should have sex. Like most of us kind of know that stuff. So like, that's one area that our brain trains towards. So like, you know, as you get older, you know, you might not pay as much attention to what's going on around you. But when you were younger, you probably noticed if somebody was attracted to you. You could get a vibe in a club, or, you know, you'd be at a bar and you'd be like, ooh, I think that person looked at me, whatever. It also is really going to pay attention to what you think is important. So your belief systems. So if you think your family holidays are full of drama, and that is all you think about between now and then guess what your reticular activation system is set to? It's going to see every side eye. It's going to notice every, like if somebody changes the channel and somebody was watching it, you're going to be like, see, drama. They didn't even ask to change the channel. Like your brain will be highly in tune to this shit. So it's really important for you between now and then to turn your brain on for what you would like to now see. So like asking yourself, like when I go to a party, how often can I spot when someone smiles at me? How often can I spot when someone is kind? Because what our brains are like, I'm so worried what they're going to think about me. And then you will see every little thing as an obstacle. If you go into every holiday meal thinking like, oh my God, I'm just going to be so tempted, I'm a sugar addict. Train your brain between now and then to say like, I want to be more aware of all the opportunities I have to care for myself, use the four basics, eat to enough, and get your brain to work on a problem that's worthy of noticing and solving. All right. That's my big talk about the Encyclopedia of Suffering with a couple of bonus modules on getting some relief. So take all this work and do it. Let's see if we have any questions. I haven't had a relationship with my mom in several years. I've done a lot of work to be at peace with where things are, but the holidays always leave me wishing we still had a relationship. Can you provide some simple coaching on how to reframe the thought? Yeah. Like think about, so this is what's so funny about relationships. Relationships are just a construct of the mind. A lot of us have a lot of relationship with our parents, talk to them every day. And then every time we talk to them, we wish we had more. It's not how much you talk. It's not all of that stuff. It's more about how do, like during the holidays, how do I want to think about my mother? How do I want to think about our relationship? And then you write about it. And that's where you're going to get more traction. Because yes, your brain is naturally going to wish for more. And that's fine. But give your brain equal airtime to go to, but what do I want to be thinking about our relationship now, especially during the holidays? How do I want to think about her? How do I want to think about myself in particular? Like, I've made so much peace with it. I'm so proud of myself for all the work that I've done. This has allowed me to feel peace around around the concept of my mother. You will have a very different feeling state than just sitting and going like, well, it's the holidays. I wish things were different. And then like doing some work on, could things be different? Like if it was going to be different, what would I want that to look like? And what's stopping me? What thoughts are stopping me? Sometimes what happens is when we do this, we get to a certain point, and then when we really start getting deeper and deeper into our own like emotional maturity, we start seeing that sometimes we have expectations like, well, I would need her doing this, I'd need her doing that. When you work on your own thoughts, you stop dropping a lot of that stuff. And that's what's happened with me and my mom. You know, I had at least 3 volumes on my mother of how she should act, say, do things. And I know y'all see us now and it's lovely and how much pride she has and everything. But for years, I had such a wall built up. I had so much resentment. She never said the right things. She could always say it better. She should and shouldn't act this way. And I started really questioning so much of what my thoughts were that I realized I just no longer needed her to change anymore. I just quit letting things bug me. I started realizing how so much of what was bugging me no longer was so significant. My emotional maturity had changed so much that those things didn't bother me anymore. But it took re-examining and re-examining and re-examining that relationship. Can you touch on seeing other people's ideal holiday gatherings on social media and making comparisons and feeling jealous? Sometimes I'm cruising through the season well until I start letting that creep in. I like to see the pics of distant friends and relatives, but I want to remember that they are showing me a very filtered version of the reality. I'll throw one out there to you. Number one, maybe it's not filtered. Maybe that is their reality. So what? What are you making that mean about you? Right? That's the problem. Y'all want social media to change for you to feel different. The only reason why you feel bad is because you look at it and you make it like it's not so much about what their reality is. It's about what you're making your reality mean. So like when you look at the two of them, why is theirs better? Why are you deciding yours is not as good? How can you start? Like, I would go more into, what are my thoughts? Like, use that as like, what are the thoughts that I'm normally triggered to think about my reality? And clean that up. Because here's the thing, like unfollow everyone. That's not a terrible like suggestion, but let me tell you what you miss out on when you unfollow people. If you're unfollowing people because they're sharing their holidays and the love that they have in their family and stuff, you're also missing out on that part. So if you didn't have, like, think about this for all of you. If you didn't have judgment about the lack you have and all this other stuff, would you not want to follow them? That's the real question. Now, I'm all for unfollowing negative bullshit and crap. And if you got somebody who's just showing off and stuff and you know their life's a shit show behind the scenes, yeah, you might want to unfollow that because like, you know what? That all isn't even true. I don't even want to see that. But if it's just like, that'd be like me unfollowing all my friends. It'd be like unfollowing all of you saying like, well, I can't go into the Facebook group because somebody's having a good day. I don't want to live my life having to orchestrate the external events of the world in order for me to have a good day. What I want to do is I want to use that as information. When I start comparing, what is it that my brain's thinking? And why would I even choose to think that? Why is that not true? What is right about my holiday? What's better about my holiday? What's equally as good for both of us? It's all about retraining your brain on how to think. Can you talk about how to think if your husband won't go see his family without you? Or what if I don't want him to go to an event with me, but he expects to go? You just have to, like, that's a thought download. You just journal on it. Like, if your husband won't go see his family without you, why not just go? Like, this is the things. Do something like this, because when I go, I think these things. That's where your misery is. It's not in going. It is in what you're going to be thinking the entire time that you're there. I show up to plenty of things with Chris that my gut is like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And I have a lot of reasons. most of the time, my reasons are not worth telling Chris, I'm not going to come and support you at your family's event. That's how I think about it. Now, if I was to go to his family events and they threw shade at me and said bullshit to me, like, you know, we don't like you, you're terrible. If they did stuff like that, guess what I would do? I would probably not go. And I would just tell Chris, like, look, here's the reason why I'm not going to go. I love you so much, but I know that your family does not like me because they have said these words. Now, I would never go to Chris and say, I'm not going to go because your family doesn't like me because I think your mom believes. Like, I would give facts. Do not give your interpretations. But I would give facts about these things were said, and I just don't want to go. And then y'all can have a conversation about it. But most of the time, what I find is a lot of us don't want to go to things because of all the things that we make things mean. And that's why you want to journal and stuff and just decide, do I like my reasons for not going? Like, are they based in reality? Or is it stuff I'm making up in my head? Only you know that. How do you respond to people at holiday parties who pester you to drink when you're cutting back and enjoying good food instead of wine? I just tell them, not drinking. Looks like you are. Good for you. And if they just keep on, I'm just like, it's still a no. Like, I know you've asked me 3 times, but guess what the answer is? Take a wild guess. You could do it like this. I'd be like, oh my God, do you know it's like the 3rd time you've asked me? All right, let's bet $50 on what my answer will be. I mean, just make it goofy. They're not pestering you until you have a thought they shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be offering. They're making it hard on me. No, they're just asking. And you're just saying no over and over again. And then each time you get to feel very proud and be like, I bet you anything they could ask me 10 times. Guess what my answer is going to be? Because you know what? I'm a motherfucking no BS woman. Doesn't matter. Last question. And then I actually have to go. And it's actually 10:03. All right. I have a gay son and my sister-in-law says she accepts him, but things I see her post on Facebook lead me to believe she does not. So lead me to believe. And I get this, like, it's sometimes it's real easy for us to like kind of get what people are saying, but she's saying that she's accepting him. And then this is where you have a choice to decide to just believe it or not. So let's just be clear there. It makes me sad. So what she says isn't what makes you sad. It's what you think about what she is posting is what makes you sad. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Trust me. I am not saying it's right or wrong. What I am saying is for your emotional growth and for your own emotional health is to just be really clear with your brain. Otherwise, one day you're going to say, so-and-so offered me a donut. And it makes me tempted. Somebody offering you a donut can't make you feel tempted until you have a thought like, ooh, that looks really good and I can't have them. The same thing with her posts. They can't make you feel bad until you have a thought about it. So it's not that you don't get to feel sad. It's just understand your reasoning. And also sometimes it's like, just to make sure that like your thought is like very in line. Like it may be that maybe she posts stuff, but she really does love your son. But like when you see things, you think she doesn't love him. And what you could do in that situation is she's got some bullshit opinions I don't agree with. But I do know that she does love him, and that's very different. So that you can still feel the love here, also feel like the sadness, disagreement, disappointment, whatever over here. All this does is it helps all of you start parceling things out so that you really understand how your brain works, and you get to choose your feelings in a very proactive way, not in a default reactive way. That's how you take control of your emotional life. And it's how you make better decisions around everything. So it's like thinking, let me finish reading it. It makes me sad. I can enjoy her company, but underneath I'm angry about what I perceive she really feels. How do I change these thoughts so it does not trigger me? I think one is you got to just get really clear on what's going on. Like, have you thought about just talking to her? Other than just like, do you accept my son? Have you ever thought about just like saying like, hey, like, I love you. Because you said, I can enjoy her company. There must be something here where like you love her or you're open to loving her, whatever's going on. And just say like, hey, I read this post the other day. I want to talk about it. Because when I see posts like this, I make it mean blah, 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 blah. And I just want to hear your side. And maybe you can educate her. Maybe she doesn't know. Who knows? I'm just reading a four-sentence paragraph. And I'm just offering you lots of perspectives and lots of things to consider. And for all of you, lots of perspectives, lots of things to consider. And one of the things that I would do is when you think about this and you do some of this work, the perfect place to take this is to ask coaches. Show them your work. Like, these are the posts I'm seeing, or like, this is the stuff. I feel sad because I make this mean. And when I look at that, I have like pulled this apart. Whatever your work is, take it to ask coaches and let them continue to help coach you on it. Because at the end of the day, all I'm ever really trying to do for all of you, I'm not trying to make you feel good about things all the time. I'm trying to make you aware of how you think that creates your feelings. And there are times in life where we do not want to be happy, or like, I don't want fake happiness for any of you. I want authentic feelings. I want you to understand where your mind is coming from, who you are, what you believe in, what you stand for, what you don't stand for. And then teach you how to take that into the world so that you get to live a fuller life, a bigger life, an authentic life for yourself. All right. With that, we are out of here. Y'all, I will see you this Sunday for coaching. Please keep Lucy in your thoughts and in your prayers. She's going to be at the vet all day. Hopefully she just is going to get some medicine or something. My baby is like 14 years old. If y'all don't know, Lucy is my sweetie. I've had her forever. She's a Siamese and she weighs 6 pounds. She is like a little tiny doll. And it's going to be a lonely day. She sleeps in this chair right across from me all day long while I work every single day. So just hope that she's okay. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.